Bill Buckley here, and more to the point, the gadget detective himself, Fevzi Turkalp, is here to talk us through some of the best bits of kit that are around at the moment. Always a pleasure to hear from him. Hello, Fevzi.
Afternoon.
Let's start then with your gadget of the week, number one, the Liberty 2 Pro Total Wireless Earphones. Now, there are millions of earphones out there, but this one has caught your attention.
Yeah, so this is from a brand called Soundcore. And I think, so these, just to let you know, these are a shade under £120, so they're sort of top end. But for the money, they're the best sound that I've heard. I think that they challenge Apple's AirPods in terms of sound quality. And there's good technological reasons why, and I'll simply tell you exactly why these ones sound so good. Mm-hmm. So in most these are little earbuds, okay, so they're not watching great big headphones. They're little ones that just almost disappear inside your ears. And most of those headphones, they have a single little loudspeaker inside them that produces a whole range of frequencies, from all the bass frequencies up mid and then treble frequencies. Now, that's obviously a compromise. You know, when you get, you know, good speakers at home, you have a sort of big speaker and a little speaker, and they do little different parts of the sound spectrum. This does the same thing. In that tiny little package, it has a bass speaker, which is 1.1 centimeters wide, which for earpods is huge. And then it has a separate little speaker that does the mid-range and treble, so it does all the detail. And it then, what it does, which is really clever, it lines them up. Because if you have them sort of off-center, one interferes with the other. You know, like you get waves interfering with each other and you get dead spots and all that sort of thing. But because these are all on the same axis, imagine like you skewered them with a skewer. Right, the way to funny yes. that. If you skewered them and then they were all sort of skewered through their middle, so, and they're all pointing straight into your ear, so there's no opportunity for the sound to interfere with the other frequencies. The result of that is you get this amazing realistic soundstage. You get the full bass and treble in it, and it's quite remarkable for something that actually fits inside your ear, and that's why it does it. The other thing that I really like is in the app, there's something called Hear ID, H-E-A-R-ID. And what it does is, so when people have hearing aids, for example, and they get fitted for a hearing aid, you have a hearing test, and they test your hearing at all the different frequencies, because our hearing, even when we're younger, isn't perfectly flat. Some frequencies we're less able to pick up than others. And what it does is it does effectively a little hearing test, and where one's personal hearing is a bit, you know, weak, it boosts. It forms a profile, and then when it's replaying music or sound to you,
wow.
It boosts those frequencies, so you get it customised to your
bespoke,
own ears.
Yes, bespoke listening.
Just,
wow,
just
perfect.
It's exactly what they do with hearing aids, but obviously yeah. You can't wear not that we need hearing aids, but you can't wear a hearing aid and a pair of earbuds.
And a pair of earphones, of course. Yeah.
This does the same job in the sense that you then get the sound as it was recorded and meant to be heard. So I've given it 4 stars out of 5. They're called the Soundcore Liberty 2 Pro Total Wireless Earphones. Total wireless means that there's not even a wire connecting them around the back of your head, one to the other. They're just two individual pieces. They come with over, I think, a dozen of the little different sized bits that go in the ear, so it's usually quite possible to get a good fit if you sort of try it.
Mm-hmm.
Buy them from somewhere that will take them back if you're not happy, because earphones, particularly the ones that fit in the ear, very personal choice. Some people just can't fit a particular pair just because of the shape of their ear canal.
Mm-hmm.
So just get ones where, you know, I won't mention any names, but, you know, ones named after South American rivers, for example, have got a 30-day return policy, no questions asked. So,
yes.
You know, you can do that. So just make sure wherever if you buy them or want to try them, buy them from somewhere where they will take them back, because they're going in the ear, and some
yes.
places will say no.
Which is understandable, yeah. 120 quid. Why did it lose out on the 5th star?
Because nothing is ever perfect, and if it was, then they'd have to just give up and go home.
I've known you give 4.5, haven't I?
I know. That's I don't know. I just thought it was worth 4.
Okay.
I guess if it was £100, it would have got 4.5.
Fair enough. Right, now, if there's one thing we hate, apart from earphones that don't fit, because you're on the plane and you're trying to watch the film and they drive you mad and all the rest of it, it is being put on hold. So
yes.
Step forward, Google Hold for Me.
Yeah, so Google's been doing a lot of work with artificial intelligence. We all know that, you know, Google collects a lot of information about us every time we do a Google search, every time we send a Gmail. they collect a lot of information. And one of the things they do with that information, they collect this huge amount of what they call big data, huge amounts of data. They use it to feed their artificial intelligence program so that they learn, rather like children learn. You know, a child learns by exposure. You know, a child doesn't learn from books in the first instance. They learn to speak and hear and everything by exposure. So they have very smart AI at Google. And what this one does, it's based on Google Duplex, which is their AI that was assistant that was first demonstrated a couple of years ago. What this does is, if you're using one of their more modern smartphones, they will roll it out to all of them, I guess, in due course, and you get put on hold. You don't have to sit with the phone to your ear or even on speakerphone blaring out and disturbing you, you know, whilst you hold for up to an hour or more. Yeah. It listens for you. It works out, you know, when the hold music stops and when a person answers. It then speaks to that person and says to them that the person that they want, their way, you know, due to hear to, is coming to the phone, and make sure they don't put down the phone. And then it alerts you that the line has now been answered. And what that means is, you know, it's an end to hold music. You don't have to listen to it. You can, you can, because, you know, the problem is, you know, sometimes by the time you get back to the phone, they've hung up. Yeah, if you
away from the phone. This is amazing. So annoying.
But what's really interesting about this is it belies where all of this is going. Google Duplex was demonstrated 2 years ago, and it is the true assistant. So what it did in this example, and it was a live example, the Google Assistant, which was had a female voice, rang a hairdresser to make an appointment on behalf of the owner or their client, as the assistant put it. And it wasn't this robotized voice. It sounded human. It had human inflection. It was going you know, just sounding very human, but also very flexible. So it asked for an appointment at a particular time. The hairdresser, who I think probably didn't even know that they were talking to a machine, said, no, we don't have anything at that time. So then the Google Assistant suggested another time, which wasn't available. They were then offered a range of times, and it picked one and confirmed the details.
Amazing.
You
could end up with one of them at either end, presumably, two computers, exactly. You know, no human interaction needed at all.
I'm sure that's the way it'll go. And of course, then why is it speech-based? But the interesting thing is, and now there is a debate starting about whether AIs should be forced to declare themselves as non-human. They're passing what's called the Turing test. Remember, Turing cracked the Enigma code in the Second World War? So his test of intelligence was that if a person speaks to an AI and can't tell that they're not speaking to a human, then it passes the test. And the Google Duplex passes.
And it just every wonderful new thing that comes throws up a load of questions, doesn't it? But this is for people with Pixel 5, Google Pixel 5 and 4A phones, yeah, so not available to all of us.
New phones, I can't talk about them yet because they're under embargo, but I'll tell you more about that about a week.
But so many times we say, well, do I really need to upgrade my phone? Is there anything that will really make a difference to my life? Hello, here's one.
To be honest, I've always liked. I mean, I use both Apple phones and Android, but you know, I've always liked the privacy aspects of Apple. To be honest with you, this is the sort of feature that would tempt me over to the other side, because it's you know, people use the term game changer. They overuse it.
Yeah, I think this could be a game changer.
It's completely changed it, because I don't know about you, but I seem to spend upwards of an hour a day on hold. Yeah. Sometimes much more than that.
If I get told one more time that A, I'm number 71 in the queue, and B, my call really matters. Yeah. Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective, is with us. His third offering this week is a virtual puppet that promises glitch-free video calls. Oh, my goodness. As somebody who has to do a lot of that kind of thing on live radio these days, that would be a wonderful boom. That would be another game changer, Fevzi. So I don't know if anybody else listening, I want to know all about this.
Okay, so this is another artificial intelligence story. It's from technology from a company called NVIDIA. Now, NVIDIA are people who make game graphics cards for computers, but they're very good on AI, because actually graphics cards are hugely powerful things these days, the ones that you used to play games, and you combine them into supercomputers. They're actual supercomputers made just out of games cards. So what they've done, the problem they're trying to solve is this. When you make a video call, the amount of data that has to be sent from your device to theirs and received by you is huge. It's much, much more than just a voice call. You know, you can imagine to send a video signal takes a lot more data. And sometimes that bandwidth isn't available. You can't actually get it, and then the picture becomes choppy or the call even fails. Mm-hmm. So what NVIDIA have come up with is something that... when you use it, it uses barely more than the data of a voice-only call. And the way it does it is it sends the voice data, as usual, and then it sends what's called tracking data. It tracks, imagine dots on your face being painted all over your face. And then as you speak and move your head and you know, make certain facial expressions, some of those dots will move. So instead of sending the picture after picture of your face in slightly different positions, it sends the movement of the dots, what they call the tracking data, and the artificial intelligence, which knows what you look like, recreates at the other end your face and its movements, and it looks very, very real. And you can actually do it with your face, or you could send another face and animate that other face with your speech and inflection, which is kind of fascinating that works. The other problem that it can solve is it can rotate the angle, the virtual angle of the camera. So if you're doing a voice call and you're on a tablet, you're looking at the screen. We naturally look at the screen because we'd see the other person. But the camera might be to the left or to the right, you know, the far left or right of your tablet if it's in landscape mode. Mm-hmm. And so you're always pictured by the other person. It looks weird. You're looking away. You look away from the camera. You're not looking into the camera because you're looking at the screen.
Yeah.
It's this solves that problem. It can, because it's doing a virtual version of your face, it can use a computer technology to rotate your face to have you staring straight at it. Now, this raises similar questions to the other technology, you know, the Hold for Me from Google.
Yes.
Is that, you know, is it really you?
Is it ethical?
Representation of you?
Supposing I suddenly see myself saying something I absolutely don't agree with on a screen.
Well, yes, because that's like the deep fake technology that we hear about, where you can put an Obama speech into Donald Trump's mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Novel, to say the least.
but you know, terrible possible consequences for all kinds of people.
It does mean that we're moving. So Photoshop years ago, you know, video photo editing meant that we could, you know, we no longer can believe everything that we see in photographs. Mm. But now we can no longer believe everything we see in video, and even live video streams may not be what they appear to be. They may be completely fake, or they may be, you know, enhanced in some way. But it's quite incredible, because you can literally, you could take the face of, I don't know, you know, a lizard king, and you speak, and your voice comes out, but its mouth and its movements and stuff, with your mannerisms and your speech, but on this completely different face. You know, for me, being a lizard king, that's not such a stretch, but for most people, that's an unusual thing.
So brilliantly useful, could be huge fun, but there's always a danger.
Yeah, and so now there are computer programs being written to try and detect fakes.
Oh, Lordy. And so it goes on and it round and round and up
it's
and
like
up.
It's like virus and antivirus, it's this and anti this, so, you know.
Keeps people busy, yeah. Keeps the pound going round. Fascinating stuff. So now, when should we see this then? When are we likely to be using this?
Well, it's in sort of trial form at the moment, so they've demonstrated it. I don't know. There's no firm date for this, but I think, you know, what it tells us, the technology is there. I think we just have these social issues now about, you know, how acceptable is it and what are the guidelines for this? You know, we have to have an etiquette.
Yes.
You know, like, no, we've sort of got texting etiquette and email etiquette, but we kind of need a video stream etiquette. And should people be alerted that what they're seeing is the recreation of your face, for example?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely fascinating. always great to talk to you, Fevzi. If you're around in 7 days' time, we'd love to do another session.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for now. Fevzi Türkalp is the Gadget Detective.